when you have difficult, when you have problems with Facebook, it doesn't always work out. So good morning. There we go. We had a couple of issues with Facebook this morning, so we should be connected now. So we're in Hebrews chapter 3 this morning. You know, open your Bibles. It's raining here in Southern California. We need the rain. It's going to rain, they say, till about 8 o'clock, and then it'll start up again the next day, rain again. So we definitely need the rain. I know in Oklahoma it was snowing. Friends in other places, snowing, lots of snow. So I don't know anybody on Facebook there. How's the weather where you're at? We'll be starting in a couple of minutes. If you're viewing this, check in. Say we like or don't like. Just let us know you're there. There's Modesto. Modesto's actually watching. And Margaret. Oh, hi, cousin Margaret. It's good to see you. Margaret, now you're from Austin, Texas, I believe, if I remember correctly. Well, happy Friday to you too. Is it snowing in Austin? Does it snow in Austin? It does, huh? Is it snowing in where you're at? Where are you? Like Clove? Like at the edge of the nowhere, huh? Clover or something? Clovis. Yeah. We have Quint. I'm sorry. I'm thinking of all these things. Pastor Quint here from Clovis, which actually is in New Mexico, right? It's on the border of Texas and New Mexico. I looked it up one time. It's like right there.
Far away.
Far away, yeah. So, yes, from Austin. I thought so. And no, it's not snowing. So we're in Hebrews chapter 3. So if you want to open up your Bibles, and we will pray. Lord, we do thank you, Father, for the rain that you're bringing here to California. We definitely need it, Lord. I pray for the officials in California, Lord, that they can find alternative ways of getting water. I know Israel does a wonderful job by pulling water out of the ocean and watering all the land of Israel, which is so fertile today, Lord, because of that technology. Maybe we can do something like that, Lord, here. Father, we thank you for bringing us here, your grace, your mercies, Lord. We thank you for your son, Jesus Christ. Lord, without him, we would be totally lost, Lord. Without the work that he did on that cross, Lord, we would have no eternal life, Father. Without his love, his compassion, or his concern for us, Lord, we wouldn't even understand those things, Lord. Truly, Jesus is an individual, Father, that is beyond any human measure, Lord. We can never truly understand him, but yet we can know him. We can love him as he loves us, Lord. He is above all things, and we should lift him up above all things, Lord. He is the author and finisher of our faith, Lord. We pray that we would be more deeply in love with him. Father, that we'd get connected more with the Son, Jesus Christ, and our Savior. Will you minister to us now as we get into your word? And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Hi, Diane. Glad you're here with us. She says good morning to all of you. They all said good morning. Actually, they could hear you, right? If you all said good morning. I think they
morning.
Could hear you.
Morning. Morning.
That was only a few of them. The rest are still trying to wake up. All right, Hebrews chapter 3. Now, I read this over, and there's some good stuff in here. So hopefully I hit those points. You know, sometimes you read something, you get some good stuff, and then you go back to read it again, you get more good stuff, and you end up getting a lot of good stuff. So, but again, it seems like Hebrews is focusing, at least on the first two or three chapters, on the superiority of Jesus Christ and how awesome he truly is. He truly is above the angels, above man, above all things. And as I said Wednesday, he should have the preeminence over everything. And so if there was ever a person in your life that you really wanted to know, and I know as young kids we sometimes want to know rock stars or movie stars or any star, we get to take time to read about them, study about them, watch them on TV or wherever way that you can do that. If there's ever a person that you want to get to know, it's Jesus Christ. Getting to know who he is and what he has done for us and how much love he has for us is a pretty amazing thing. So Paul continues to, and I'm going to say Paul because I think Paul wrote this. And interesting that he's going to talk a lot about Moses here and the children that rebelled. And so he's using an Old Testament character as a priest, as a Pharisee, as we saw last Wednesday. He talks a lot about angels because the Sadducees did not believe in angels. And so I think Paul, being a Pharisee, believed in angels. He was kind of answering that question that was probably out there, that there are angels, that there are miracles, and that Jesus Christ is above all those things. So therefore, and again, therefore, we go back, and I just did, gave you a little summary of chapter 2 there. Therefore, holy brethren, separated is the word. We have been separated unto Christ. We're his brethren, partakers of the heavenly calling. Consider the apostle and high priest for our confession, Jesus Christ, or Christ Jesus. Now here it seems that either Paul is saying, consider the apostles and high priest and our confession of Christ Jesus, or he's saying that Jesus is the one sent, because apostle means a messenger sent, and he is our high priest, who was faithful to him who appointed him, that is his father, as Moses also was faithful in all his house. So there's the reference to Moses there. And you go back to the book of Genesis and then Exodus, and you read the story of Moses there, one of the forefathers of the Jews, that they know him very, very well. We know him very, very well. Probably the world knows him because of the movies that have been made about Moses, and probably why they would know who we're speaking of when we say Moses, who delivered the children of Israel out of Egypt. You know, Yul Brynner, who was the Pharaoh, right? Well, he wasn't, but he played the Pharaoh in the movie Moses. But Moses was, wow, when you read the life and story of Moses, it's a beautiful reading. You really get to sense his character and who he was, his strengths, but also his weaknesses, you know, as a man. And now the writer here, Paul, uses him as an example, as Moses was faithful in the things that God appointed him to do in his household. For this one has been counted worthy of more glory than Moses. And again, he's back to Jesus. Even Moses has nothing on Jesus. Inasmuch as he who built the house has more honor than the house. For every house is built by someone, but he who built all things is God. And again, here's now a reference in the book of Hebrews that Jesus is God. Now, who has more honor, the one who built or the one who designed that house, who owns it, and is the one who owns it and designed it? Not necessarily the one who does some of the work, but the one who actually designed it, who owned it, who is building it. That's the one who has more authority, more recognition. And so Jesus is that one. And the things that were built by God. And again, you go back to Philippians, go back to 1 John, and you talk about some of the things that Jesus did. And one of the things is he created all things. So he is the builder. And so a reference again to Jesus being God. And Moses indeed was faithful in all his house as a servant for a testimony of those things which would be spoken afterwards. So the faithfulness of Moses. But Christ as a son over his own house, whose house we are, if we hold fast the confidence and the rejoicing of the hope firm to the end. So Moses, being a faithful servant, was a testimony of his character. When we were reading the epistles, like in Timothy and Titus, some of the things that we saw in there were things about men's character and how you are to raise up men that are faithful. That's what Paul's talking about here. Moses was faithful with what God had given them. We should be faithful too. We don't serve man, we serve God. And so even if none go with us to serve, we should still serve God. Even if things don't go right or we don't like the way things are going, we should still serve God. We are to be faithful to God. And God is going to reward us not on how much we do or how well we even do those things, but if we're faithful to do those things. There's some things that I just don't know how to do, but I do them anyway. And sometimes they work out, sometimes they don't work out. But I try to do them because they need to get done. And God looks at the faithfulness more than he looks at the abilities sometimes. Sometimes we can mess things up, but at least we're trying. And as someone said, it's better to have tried than to not try it at all, right? I mean, let's just do something, if anything, than doing nothing. Doing nothing and sitting there watching TV or reading magazines, that's not amounting to much. But trying to do something, and it may be raking, you know, the property, but at least you're raking God's property and you're getting rewards in heaven for being faithful to do so. Might not be teaching behind the pulpit or some great crusade, but you're being faithful with what God has given you. Moses was a faithful man, and so was Jesus Christ to his own household, even above Moses. Then he says, therefore, as the Holy Spirit says, today, if you will hear his voice, do not harden your heart as in the rebellion, in the day of trial in the wilderness, where your fathers tested me, proved me, and saw my works 40 years. Therefore, I was angry with that generation and said, they always go astray in their heart, and they have not known my ways. So I swore in my wrath, they shall not enter my rest. Now, he's talking about, again, the wandering in the wilderness as Moses was leading them to the promised land. And they did not want to go into the promised land, and so they wandered because of their lack of faith. And you see that God's angry here, and the writer tells us that he is angry at their disbelief. And for 40 years, he's been faithful to them, miracle after miracle. You know, the 10 miracles just with Pharaoh himself, and the miracle at the Red Sea, and then the manna, and then the water, and yet they were still in unbelief. Pretty amazing. We are to submit ourselves to the Lord Jesus Christ. We need to put our faith and trust in him for everything in our life. No matter what has happened in our life, we are to submit ourselves to him and know in our hearts that what we are going through, what we have gone through, that God has a purpose and a reason for it, and we can trust in him completely because he loves us so much. He's taking care of us. And so those people, and some estimate maybe a million people or so that were out in the wilderness wandering, they all died. Every one of them died except for Joshua and Caleb and those that had gone into the promised land and said, there's potential. I think we can do it because God's on our side. I was just listening to Greg Laurie. He was talking about Goliath and David, you know, a huge, huge man, Goliath, and here's a little shepherd boy. Hey, I can do this with God. And we can do all things through Christ Jesus who strengthens us. And so we do see the nature of God there, though. We saw the word last Wednesday, propitiation. I remember, and I defined it as a sacrifice that is offered to an angry God. And now Paul uses the word wrath here, the wrath of God that came upon them. We find in some of the other epistles, and I'm looking as we're going through, I think it's Thessalonians, that talks about the wrath that we will not endure because of the work of Jesus Christ on the cross. The word wrath is orge, and it's a divine wrath. And you can find it in Numbers 16:46 also. We see it in Revelation 6:16 where it says the wrath of the Lamb that's going to come on the world. Matthew 3:7 refers to the wrath that is to come. Revelation 14:10 talks about the cup of his indignation, that orge, that wrath. 14:19 says the wrath, the wine press of fierce wrath of God. Revelation 19:15, wrath of the Almighty. Revelation 16:19, the wine of the fierceness of his wrath. So wrath is coming, and 1 John 2:2 talks about the propitiation. And so Jesus was the offering to appease the wrath of God. And by the way, God's children aren't going to experience God's wrath because we put our faith in him. We will be what? Raptured out of the world before the wrath of God comes, which is the tribulation period. Hallelujah. Praise God for that, because we put our faith in Jesus Christ. And I love the analogy. Those who are truly, truly God's children, those who are made of the material of being born again, new creatures in Christ Jesus, will be raptured out. And I love the analogy of take a big magnet and you draw it to a pan of a bunch of junks and metals and debris, and the only thing that will be lifted up by that magnet is all the metal that has the right properties will be lifted up. Everything else will be left. So all of this false pretense and hypocrisy will be revealed at that time. Those that truly know Jesus Christ will be raptured out of this world. Those who are playing games, and if you're playing games, you need to stop. Stop playing games and just get right with the Lord and start serving him. Get busy with the kingdom of God. But everyone else who is pretense, they may knock on that door and say, Lord, let us in. He may open and say, I don't know you. I don't know you, but I've done good. I fed a homeless guy. I gave a couple of dollars to the guy that was on the island between the lights there. You know, remember that? He goes, yeah, but your heart was never right towards me. You've never concerned yourself over the sins of your life. You've never really humbled yourself and surrendered totally to me. We need to do that. We need to surrender our very hearts to the Lord. Look at verse 12. Beware, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in determining or departing from the living God, but exhort one another daily. Well, it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. For we have become partakers of Christ if we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast to the very end. One purpose for fellowship is to encourage one another. There's so many people who call themselves Christians who don't fellowship with the body of Christ, and they really need to. They're being deceived by that sin of not fellowshipping. God commands us to fellowship with one another. And the reason is to encourage one another, to stir one another up for good works, to keep us on track, to keep us motivated, to keep us accountable. A lot of good reasons for fellowshipping one with another. And we need to do this to the end. Verse 15, well, it is said today, if you will hear his voice, do not harden your heart as in the rebellion, going back to Moses again and the children of Israel. For who having heard, rebelled, indeed, was it not all who came out of Egypt led by Moses? Now with whom was he angry 40 years? Was it not with those who sinned, whose corpses fell in the wilderness? And to whom did he swear that they would not enter his rest? But to those who did not what? Obey. So we see that they could not enter because of unbelief. So some of the things that we see here that he kind of interprets for us of the Old Testament is their rebellion. You go back and you read the stories, and one of the things that they rebelled was God says, go in. And they says, no, we can't. That's disbelief. That's a sin when you have disbelief. When you don't trust God with your life, that's disbelief. That's sin. That needs to be revealed to us, by the way. When we're worrying, that's sin, the Bible says. That means we're not trusting God. And so they didn't trust God that God could give them the victory. And so they wandered and they died because of their disbelief, because of disobedience to him too. Didn't trust him, didn't trust the leadership, didn't trust the direction. They wanted their own direction, their own way, which is sin. And God let them do that. And so disbelief is sin. Not trusting is sin. Not clinging to Jesus Christ is sin. It really is. We need to totally, totally surrender our lives to Jesus Christ. What better person to do that to than Jesus, who's God, who's perfect, who loves us so much, and we can never doubt his love. Just look at the cross. Just look at the cross, and you'll see how much he loved you when they drove those nails into his hands, when they drove them into his feet, when they put the crown thorns on his head, when they mocked him and ridiculed him, and yet he said not a thing, like a lamb to the slaughter. He loved us that much, and so why not? Why not? He has our best interests. I encourage you to to pray about these things. Maybe there's some areas in our lives where we're disbelieving God, and God has promised us, right? He's promised us. I know he's promised me a lot of things, and sometimes you look at the situation, go, okay, I don't see those promises coming to pass. Okay, Lord, what's going on? And you want to ignore it and just let him do what he wants. But, you know, if God's promised it, remind him. Lord, you promised. You promised that you were going to do this, and you promised you're going to do that. Maybe the timing's not right, Light. I totally get that. But I'm reminding you that I'm hoping for that promise. I'm trusting you for that promise. I'm having faith in you. Totally so. Let's pray. Gracious Lord, I thank you, Father, for your word. And the Apostle Paul, as he wrote these words down, may you encourage us with these words, Lord. There's some good things here, Lord. We need to know who Jesus is, and we need to have that intimate and deep relationship with him. And we need to trust him, Lord, with our lives. And when we don't, we need to understand that sin will always lead to death. Sin will always lead to a hard life, to worries and mourning and suffering and not experiencing the fullness of Christ Jesus, Lord. I pray, Lord, that you help us with our disbelief, Lord, that we may believe and trust in you, Lord. May you bless my brothers and sisters today, Lord, and as we usher in the new year on Sunday, I pray that they all go to church. I pray my brothers and sisters on Facebook will find a church, go to church, or if they don't have a church, listen to us live on Facebook at 9:30 this coming Sunday. I pray, Lord, that your grace and mercy be with them all. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you for joining us, Facebook. Appreciate it. Appreciate the comments on there. Give us a thumbs up or give us a sad face if you like. Whatever. Just let us know you're there. And don't forget, share this. And have a blessed new year. And we'll see you on Monday as we look at chapter 4 of Hebrews. We love you guys. God bless.